Lesson 2, Repentance and Baptism, Becoming a Christian. This is on page 3 of the Bible study. Lesson 2, Repentance and Baptism, Becoming a Christian. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke that focuses on Jesus, also gathered testimony from the opening years of the Christian church and wrote the book called The Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 1 starts out with the risen Lord Jesus appearing and teaching the apostles and promising the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven and directed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. While in Jerusalem, waiting for the Holy Spirit, the 11 apostles chose a fellow disciple, with the guidance of Jesus, to replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and killed himself. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 35, the coming of the Holy Spirit with power is recorded as well as the first sermon of the church. Peter preached to the people in Jerusalem that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, sent by God to forgive people their sins. But instead of believing in Jesus, the people agreed with the Jewish leaders to kill Jesus. The Holy Spirit guided Peter to point out, A, who Jesus is, the promised Messiah, and B, what the people had done, killed the Messiah. Starting at verse 29, Peter's sermon. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Page 4. Until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Jesus said the Holy Spirit's work would be to glorify Jesus. It's in John 16, verse 14. Peter's sermon led the people to see that they had done a great and terrible sin. They killed the Messiah whom God had sent to save them. Moreover, this Messiah rose from the dead, as prophesied by King David, and he now rules over all things as Lord and Christ. Not only did the people participate in killing the Savior whom God the Father had sent, but also Jesus rose from the dead and now has all power. They are in trouble. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter responded, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. From Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. Becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, involves changes. One, upon hearing God's word, a person sees his or her terrible situation without God's forgiveness and love. Or put differently, the person comes to the point of despair and fear because of sin, evil, and death in his or her life. I am doomed and cannot change this myself. I need help. This recognition of going the wrong way is repentance that God's word brings to the soul, mind, and heart. Two, the person receives God's name, forgiveness, salvation, life, and protection by being baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's name, forgiveness, salvation, life, and protection can only be received, not earned or decided upon. Jesus described new life in God's kingdom as being born again or born from above. By water and the Holy Spirit. Only God's Spirit can give new spiritual life to a person. The Holy Spirit uses God's law in his word to show a person they are in deep sin, guilt, shame, and trouble. The Holy Spirit also uses the good news about Jesus in God's word to point people to Jesus, to know and trust in his forgiveness, grace, and truth. Jesus is the only way out of trouble. Baptism puts a person into God's grace. A person does not decide for God's power or grace. The Holy Spirit brings these and changes the person. In John chapter 3, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Peter's teaching brought God's word of law to the people that first Christian Pentecost day, and they saw their sin and became afraid. Peter's teaching also brought the good news that God freely forgives in the name of Jesus. One needs the baptism Jesus taught. That is, baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Peter's teaching is clear that children are fully included in the promise of forgiveness and new life in the Holy Spirit. They should not be left out from receiving holy baptism and its blessings. It is vital to understand that no sinner can decide to believe in Jesus. Some would say that a baby or a small child cannot make a conscious decision and should not be baptized until they can say they believe. This is a mistaken belief, and it is completely contrary to the teaching in God's word. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit." To fill in the blanks there, no one with the Holy Spirit can say, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. The gift is for all people of all ages and conditions. A person who says and believes that Jesus is Lord already has the Holy Spirit and already is a disciple of Jesus. No one can make a statement of belief in Jesus without the Holy Spirit already active in their life. From Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness. Continue on page 6. Toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul's teaching dismisses any idea that a person chooses to believe in Jesus. Faith in Jesus is a gift from God by the power of the Holy Spirit. To help us review and think more about these words, this teaching from Paul, we have these fill in the blanks. From verses 1 through 3, which talks about all people's condition, all people are dead in trespasses and sins. All people follow the course of this world and follow the prince of the power of the air. This is the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience, the devil. We all, notice how that's underlined thick there, we all once lived like this, following passions of our flesh and the desires of the body and mind. We were all once by nature children of wrath, like all mankind. In Paul's teaching, there is absolutely no possibility for any person to be good before God on their own. There is no possibility one can decide on their own to think, do, or say something that is truly good before God. There is no possibility that on its own a baby or small child stands in a good relationship with God, because all people are sinners and are by nature under God's wrath. A baby and a small child depends on its parents for bodily care, so also the baby and child depends on its parents to bring him or her under Jesus' protection and care through holy baptism, which Jesus commanded. Some might say a child is born innocent without sin before God. Such a belief does not accord with God's word. Paul leaves out no one in any condition. All are under God's wrath. Verses 4 through 7. God acts to save. God has prepared for us to live as his holy people. Here's a blank start up again. But God, notice, but God, underline double there, being rich in mercy. because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. If you look at that sentence or that small paragraph or blanks on the bottom of page 6 there, you notice that's what's double or bolded underlined is, but God made us alive. Do you see that? But God made us alive. That's the main part of that sentence. And Paul is pointing out, you were dead in our trespasses and sins. In fact, we were all children of wrath, but God made us alive. And he has many details there, of course. Continuing, by grace, we have been saved. God raised us up with Jesus and seated us. Next page, top of 7. And seated us in heavenly places. This great grace and mercy of God will be seen all the more in coming ages. We are saved by God's grace. Grace. Not by human works. Works. We're saved through faith. This salvation and every part of it is God's gift. Gift. No one can say and boast that they have had any part in their salvation. God's full intention and plan in our salvation, which he gives to us, is that we walk in our new life with good works. Good works. God even prepared. God even prepared our good works beforehand. Our belief and confession match God's word. The Lutheran reformers clearly understood sinful humanity's complete inability to save themselves or to decide to be Christian or to do any good work at all without the power of the Holy Spirit. From the Book of Concord, Formula of Concord, Solid Declaration, Article 2, starting at paragraph 7. We believe that in spiritual and divine things, the intellect, heart, and will of regenerated man cannot by any native or natural powers in any way understand, believe, accept, imagine, will, begin, accomplish, do, effect, or cooperate. But that man is entirely and completely dead and corrupted as far as anything good is concerned. Accordingly, we believe that after the fall and prior to his conversion, not a spark of spiritual powers has remained or exists in man by which he could make himself ready for the grace of God or to accept the proffered grace, nor that he has any capacity for grace by and for himself, or can apply himself to it, or prepare himself for it, or help, do, effect, or cooperate toward his conversion by his own powers, either altogether, or halfway, or in the tiniest and or smallest degree, of himself as coming from himself, but is a slave of sin, the captive of the devil who drives him. Hence, according to its perverse disposition and nature, the natural free will is mighty and active only in the direction of that which is displeasing and contrary to God. Turn the page, page 8. Going to church starts with God's action in us. From the first time the Holy Spirit was working in us, whether as a baptized baby or later in life, it is God who has drawn us to himself. It is God who draws us together to worship him. Unbelieving sinners do not decide to come to church to be converted. God draws sinners to himself. He forgives and converts sinners and gives sinners the righteousness of Jesus. This is what happened at the time of Peter's sermon in Acts 2, as well as in all times up to today. A Christian's desire to gather with other Christians for worship is the Holy Spirit's power in us. Reopening a church service is much more than reopening a restaurant or theater or retail store. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens and sanctifies God's people. Christians are motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit to gather together to worship God. In fact, the true church can never be closed or shut down, because the church is the people of God, saved in Jesus Christ. There is no disease, tragedy, government order, persecution, not even death, that can overcome God's love and salvation for his people. We stopped meeting for a while since human medical advice and human government said this was good to do for the sake of one another and for our communities. We remember the biblical teaching that God is in control even in the midst of disease and chaos. He works through all things for the good of his people. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, please bless my days as the patterns of life continue to change. Now businesses are starting up again. People are starting to get out again. Our church services will soon begin. Yet the COVID-19 disease is still around. But even worse, the temptations to doubt you or your word continue to come against me and other Christians. Give me strong faith and hope in you. Please bless the pastor and leaders of our congregation so that they may do your will to lead our congregation. In your name I pray, amen. Lessons 3-7 will review some basic truths of our gathering together as the people of God. Blessings on your day.